are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Welcome back. Happy Thursday, everybody. Let's talk Timberwolves and specifically Timberwolves Mavs. Of course, the Wolves lost on Wednesday night to the Mavericks, 121 to 114, but it was a really entertaining game that featured dominant runs by both teams, only a couple of lead changes, but entertaining basketball and really some unlikely and unexpected heroes for both teams beyond the names that everybody knows and expects to play really well. It was, especially for the Mavericks, they had some guys do some damage that the Timberwolves, basically the Wolves didn't want Luka Doncic to beat them, and they did a pretty good job of keeping that from happening. So we're going to dig into that a bit more and talk about, really, if you had listened to yesterday's, Wednesday's Locked On podcast, yours truly gave you some keys to the game for the Timberwolves, and the Wolves actually did a pretty good job of following those and simply got beat by some ancillary players ultimately at the end of the game. So let's just go ahead and dive in. The Timberwolves started slowly. Remember, this is a Mavericks team that was 13-6 headed into the game. They just recently ended the Lakers' 10-game winning streak. They came off of a strong road trip. And we talked about on Wednesday, in Wednesday's episode, that the Timberwolves just need to do whatever they can to slow down Doncic, and the rest of the Mavericks' offense is essentially a bunch of above-average three-point shooters, not very many quote-unquote sharpshooters. This side of Seth Curry, who, of course, was about the only Maverick that didn't make a three in this game, pretty close. But that Doncic is really the only consistent creator on this team, and that the Wolves, if they can slow him down, we'll have a shot to win. And that's basically what happened. They did slow down Doncic, and they did have a chance to win. They did have an early fourth quarter lead, even into the middle portions of the fourth quarter. But ultimately, they weren't able to do it. The Wolves took my advice from Wednesday, and I'm sure that they listened to Locked On Wolves, and that's what informed this decision. But the Mavs started Josh Okogie, the Timberwolves started Josh Okogie instead of Trevion Graham. And Okogie was basically assigned to follow Luka Doncic around the court. Doncic only played 32 minutes. The Mavs made a pretty big fourth quarter push with him on the bench. Doncic did appear to tweak his ankle early in the fourth quarter too. I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it, but the Mavs made a lot of progress with Doncic on the bench. And so Okogie only played 27 minutes of his own and had 7 points and seven rebounds, but only attempted 5 shots and was a +6 on the game. Okogie was one of only six Timberwolves to have a positive plus minus in this one. But he was essentially assigned to stay attached to Luka Doncic's hip. The Mavs, especially early in the game, just consistently ran almost every time down the court either a pick and roll with Doncic handling or a dribble handoff with Doncic getting the ball at the top of the key. And Okogie was attempting to stick with Luka around screens and through these dribble handoffs and ride him all the way to the rim. And it primarily worked. Doncic made a couple of really tough shots, especially early in the game. I can only think of one that he made in the second half, a difficult shot in the paint. But the Wolves made life difficult for Luka. They really did. He ended up shooting just 8 of 22 on the game, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc, and he missed his first couple free throws. He's a really good free throw shooter. He's 5 of 8 from the line. He got his line, though. He finished with 22, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists, but he did turn it over 5 times. He was actually a team-worst minus 16 in this game. So the Wolves' strategy to slow down Luka actually worked really well. The problem is that the Wolves' second unit had a terrible game, whereas the Mavericks' second unit was fantastic. And we'll dive into that just a little bit more. I guess quickly, the overview of the game was the Wolves had a poor first quarter, still only trailed by 5, trailed by as many as 13 points in the second quarter, and things looked like they were going to go downhill in a hurry. And then they used a big run towards the end of the second frame. I don't know what the exact run was, but it enabled them to get a lead of, I think it was 3 at halftime. Robert Covington was awesome, really the whole game, but especially late in that first half. And the Wolves managed to take a small lead on the road. They built that lead up to 11 in the third quarter before the Mavs pushed back. And really, Dallas had much of the momentum towards the end of the quarter. And the Wolves led by 4 headed to the fourth quarter. But the third quarter was kind of where things shifted from, the Wolves basically from the midway point of the second quarter to the midway point of the third quarter, it was all Timberwolves. And then the Mavs pushed back and Dwight Powell came to life in the third quarter. Towns for the Wolves had 11 points in the third after having a pretty quiet first half. But then Dwight Powell came alive as the role man. And oftentimes Towns was either more concerned with containing Luka and Powell slipped past him, or, lost in the scramble, Powell would end up with Wiggins or somebody else as the closest defender. And Powell was able to use his size and quickness to finish at the rim. He had a season high, 24 points on 9 of 9 shooting for Dwight Powell. He was 2 of 2 from beyond the arc, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Just a fantastic game for Dwight Powell. And that's not a direct knock on Towns' defense. It's just simply the way that the Wolves schemed to play defense against the Mavs. Just meant that Powell was going to be a guy who got the ball in a position to score, and he took advantage of it. So Towns had 13 in the third quarter, and the Wolves led by 4 headed to the fourth. And things seemed okay, especially with Luka headed to the bench early in the fourth quarter. But the Mavericks bench was unbelievable, led by Jalen Brunson, son of the former Timberwolves assistant coach, Justin Jackson, and Maxi Kleber were also huge in this one. I think Brunson's 16 were a season high for him as well. Shot 7 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 3 from three. And right when the game was kind of hanging in the balance in the middle stages of the fourth quarter, Brunson was making seemingly everything. I mean, he was 7 of 8, so basically everything. And the Wolves bench, and especially Jeff Teague, really struggled to contain him. The entire Mavericks bench was a positive plus minus, and their whole starting lineup was a negative. Everyone in the starting lineup was a negative. I already mentioned Doncic was a team worst minus 16. Brunson and DeLon Wright were each a plus 21 for the Mavs. And the Wolves bench, the only guy with a positive plus minus, the only two were Jeff Teague and Trevion Graham, ironically. Teague really did not have a good game. He had 3.6 assists. He was 0-5. We'll dive into him. He's definitely, spoiler alert, he's going to make that duds list in our next segment. But that fourth quarter saw the Wolves didn't go away. I mean, they were within 2 possessions with just a couple minutes left, but they just couldn't keep the Mavs from hitting timely shots. Kristaps Porzingis ended up with a nice line of 19.6 rebounds. He shot the ball 15 times, but it really didn't seem like it. He did hit a deep three that kind of put the game away for the most part late in the fourth. But this was just a good battle from the Wolves. I mean, they played well in this game outside of some small stretches. They had some, issues in the backcourt defensively on non-Doncic players. They really struggled to contain Jalen Brunson and even DeLon Wright a little bit. But just an impressive game plan from the Wolves. And it's really hard to get upset about this game. I mean, they shot 17 of 38 from three, 45%. The Mavs were under 30% from three. So it's a game that you'd really like to win, given that they did all the things that they needed to do, that they undoubtedly came in needing to do. I mean, my suggestion to the Wolves was to push the pace, to rebound the ball, on the glass and be competitive there to try and limit second chances for the Mavs, and to slow down Luka Doncic by putting a Kogi on him. They did all those things. The Mavs won the rebounding battle by 1, 45-44. So that was essentially a wash. The Wolves got it out in transition a fair amount. I think they could have done it a bit more. And that's something that, like, for instance, Andrew Wiggins settled a little too much in this game. He came on late and ended up with a decent line and a decent effort overall, but he didn't do much damage until late in the game. And early, he should have gotten the ball in transition and pushed it himself, gotten Okogie more involved on the offensive end in transition. Culver had a really good game, but it could have even been a better performance had the Wolves got out and ran more. But really, overall, a solid performance, far from a stinker. They could have gotten blown out. They could have gone away after getting down big in the third quarter, or second quarter, actually. But they didn't. And so a positive result. It's too bad the Wolves are now back to a 500 record for the first time since they were 0-0. They're now 10-10. But winnable game at Oklahoma City on Friday, and hopefully this game gives them some confidence headed into that one, that they can indeed hang with one of the best teams in the West, in the Dallas Mavericks. So we're going to get into studs and duds next, and really dive into which individual players had the best and worst games for the Timberwolves. The studs list for this game has to start with Robert Covington, who had been, he's been coming on a little bit of late. He'd been struggling early in the year offensively, had been decent on defense. But he, in this game, was ultra efficient, 6 of 10 from beyond the arc, and most of his threes were super deep. 8 of 13 overall. He had 22.6 rebounds in just 28 minutes. Was a was a plus eight, which was a team best mark. No turnovers and assists, a steal. He did have five fouls, but overall, just a probably Robert Covington's best all around game so far this season for the Wolves. And I mean, they quite frankly just wouldn't have been as close in this game if it wasn't for him. So fantastic game from Covington. He had a couple of big strips. A couple of his fouls easily could have been no calls, as it looked like he got clean strips. But Rocco sometimes has a tendency to slap down too hard at the ball and the refs get tricked on it. Which reminds me, quick tangent to complain about Luka Doncic complaining, which I know is kind of crazy. But if Wolves fans think Karl Anthony Towns complains a lot about foul calls, and he does it too much, if you miss this game, watch at least the first half of this game and watch Luka Doncic. Every single time down the court, whether or not he's shooting the ball, he laughs and complains at the officials after the play. And it was incessant and worse than I've ever seen Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe not as loud, but it was insane. I don't think he does it quite this badly all the time. And the other Mavs games I've watched in the second half wasn't quite as bad. So I don't know if Rick Carlisle told him to tone it down, because it was pretty insane. And the guy averages more than 9 free throw attempts a game, and he got his 8 free throw attempts in this game. But the Wolves were just playing solid defense on, and I guess he just hadn't been defended by somebody of Josh Okogie's caliber yet, in his NBA career. I'm not really sure what it was, but, that was obnoxious to see somebody that was even worse than Karl Anthony Towns when it comes to complaining. And Towns, I think, would even admit that it's something that he still struggles with, but he actually did fairly well in this game with not complaining when he probably could have. He only attempted 4 free throws despite shooting basically, I think, 12 shots in the paint in this one. Towns did, and just didn't get the calls. But at any rate, we'll transition that to Towns then. Towns was the Wolves' second best player on the court in this game easily, next to Covington. Towns had 26 points. He only had 9 rebounds in the game. The Wolves really, I had said on Wednesday, the Wolves needed a rebound as a team, and they did. The starting lineup was great. Everybody had 5 or more rebounds in the starting lineup. Towns had 9. Towns had 7 assists and only 2 turnovers. A steal and a block was a plus 7. And 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. Attempted only the 4 free throws, as I mentioned. The Wolves deserved a better fate in terms of trips to the free throw line with how many shots they were getting up in the paint. But the Wolves also shot themselves in the foot by missing in the paint so many times. They were shooting about 30% until the midway point in the fourth quarter, and they made a few putbacks in the fourth quarter. But there was something like 12 for 37 or 38 early in the fourth quarter in the paint. A lot of that is Andrew Wiggins. Again, he has a tendency to miss some of those. Jeff Teague was a big culprit on that. He was 0 for 5 from the floor. And 2 of those shots were from beyond the arc. The other 3 were all misses in the paint that rimmed out. And at some point, it's no longer bad luck. It's just Jeff Teague isn't finishing at the rim. And that's become a big issue lately. It almost feels Ricky Rubio-esque in some ways. If fans remember Rubio's struggles at the rim, but at least Rubio is contributing in other areas like defense and timely passing, whereas Teague has been less than consistent lately after a really good start to the season. But enough about Teague for the moment, at least. I keep digressing into Jeff Teague because he was the hot button issue for me in this game. But great games from Covington and Towns. Andrew Wiggins was okay. I don't think he falls into either the stud or dud category. He had 26 points, but it took him 24 shots, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, 3 of 8 beyond the arc. 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, only 1 assist to 3 turnovers, which as a primary ball handler, that's certainly not ideal. Culver ended up handling the ball a lot more in this game, and Jeff Teague saw 28 minutes off the bench. So those guys each combined they each had 6 assists, Culver and Teague. At this point, we're expecting more out of Wiggins as a creator. So this just simply wasn't his best game, but he came on strong at the end, kept the Wolves in it, hit a couple of big threes. It was far from his worst game. Certainly not a dud. Jarrett Culver, I think, would fall under the studs category. He was playing close to home. You know, he's from the Lubbock area, went to school at Texas Tech. Had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, a steal, only 1 turnover, and again, was one of the primary ball handlers in this game. Was a minus 14, but really, I think that was just the matchups that he was stuck in. He had a better game, for instance, than Jeff Teague, who was a plus 3, and that's one of the examples of single game plus minus being a little wonky. Culver had a good game. He had a stretch where he stripped Luka Doncic and came down and hit a three. That was in the third quarter that helped the Wolves build, or I guess maintain a lead that they were hanging on to. Just a really good all-around game from Culver, and continues to show progress in multiple facets, and his aggressiveness is probably the most attractive thing about his game right now. But he clearly has know-how. He has confidence. And it's just some of those, it's going to be a classic case of year one to year two. There's going to be a leap where some things click and he starts playing a little less sloppy and his jumper continues to improve. If he can have a solid jumper that he can knock down with some consistency, you know, league average or slightly better from beyond the arc, I mean, he's going to be a really good player, and he's already trending in that direction. Certainly. In terms of duds, I've already ranted about Jeff Teague a little bit, but this was just a bad game. 3.6 assists, only one turnover, but he was 0-5 from the field, and just a couple of bad misses in the paint, bad defense. The Wolves, again, had him play alongside Shabazz Napier. It's in the two games that Napier's been back, this hasn't worked, the minutes where Napier and Teague have played together. And I think it's only going to work in very specific matchups. To Sonder's credit, he didn't force it that much in this game. I think when he realized it wasn't working, he went away from it. But I'm not sure how many games that pairing will work. It'd be interesting to see what the Wolves try and do to get Napier back into the rotation, as the Wolves were playing well with Teague in the starting lineup and Napier as his backup. But they also, the Wolves now don't want to take the ball to Wiggins' hands in the starting lineup either. So they have a little bit of a conundrum on their hands there, but at least they have some options and can play around with it a little bit. Outside of Teague and really Napier, Travion Graham had a decent game. He only played 12 minutes. There weren't really any other players that were clear duds. It was really Jeff Teague and then the bench unit as a whole. Kade Bates-Diop hit a couple of big threes late in the game, finished with 8 points, 2 rebounds in 21 minutes, was 3 of 3 from the floor, hit both of his three attempts. He was a team worst minus 23, which is insane. It's hard to blame Kade Bates-Diop for any of the issues that the Wolves had. I think, you know, he continues to play fairly well. So interesting to see what the Wolves do with the bench unit moving forward, because they were thoroughly outplayed by the Mavs bench unit. Although the rotations obviously aren't quite that clean, but the Mavs bench is really what got them back into the lead early in the fourth quarter. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on the rotation and what that looks like moving forward. But that's my biggest question mark coming out of this game, is how the Wolves are going to manage those Teague and Napier minutes and what Ryan Saunders wants to do long term when it comes to that. All right, before we get into what's upcoming for the Wolves and final takeaways from the game, I did want to talk about MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you, because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, some final takeaways from the game. The Wolves overall executed the game plan very well in this one. They rebounded the ball decently. They contained Luka Doncic. They were really only hurt by a lack of wing defenders off the bench that were able to guard Jalen Brunson. In hindsight, maybe it's Travion Graham that actually checks him with the second unit instead of Jeff Teague, for instance, that, you know, Graham could provide a bit more resistance, some length to bother somebody like Brunson. Although to the Wolves, the benefit of the doubt here for the Wolves, Jalen Brunson, I mean, it was a season high for him. He's normally not a great shooter, hit 2 of 3 three-pointers, 7 of 8 from the field. And it's not like he was getting to the rim consistently. He had a couple shots at the rim, but I don't think anyone expected him to necessarily go off in this one for a season high. But the Wolves could have made an adjustment and done a better job of checking him. But generally speaking, the game plan worked fairly well, and they were just beat by a team that's better right now. And that's that's okay. That happens. So not too much to get upset about. As I mentioned in the last segment, keep an eye on the Wolves bench rotation, see what the Wolves do with Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier. And perhaps, you know, perhaps Napier is out of the rotation for a while, or perhaps they work him in and, you know, maybe they give Teague 10 less minutes and Napier runs the point for 10 minutes a game. Teague runs the point for 20 minutes a game and Wiggins covers the rest of it. I think that's probably the move. I think it's important to keep Napier in the rotation. It is appearing more and more likely that Jeff Teague could be an odd man out as we get closer to I guess the unofficial NBA trade season that really starts to pick up after the middle of December. If you watched the Timberwolves broadcast on Fox Sports North, you would have heard Jim Peterson get on a soapbox for a little bit during the game about the Wolves' need for a true point guard who can push the ball into the paint and distribute, and who's also willing to shoot the open shot, which are all things that Jeff Teague has kind of had issues crop up with each of those things. And having somebody who can do that more consistently would be a big deal. So it wouldn't be a surprise if Teague was on the move at some point. Napier is a better fit for what this team is trying to do. And that could be the direction that the Wolves go in, is moving Teague and having Napier as the primary backup point guard. And maybe just continue with Andrew Wiggins and Jarrett Culver as the primary ball handlers with the first unit. But that's the biggest question mark with this team. I think at this point, Gorgui Dieng's your backup center. Kata Bates-Diop is your backup four. When Jake Layman comes back eventually, they're not going to rush him back with how well Bates-Diop is playing. But that will be interesting how they work in Jake Layman and Kata Bates-Diop. Maybe Travion Graham's out of the rotation. A couple of those question marks moving forward. But and also just kind of an interesting note, keep an eye on the end of the roster and who the Wolves are bringing up for games. In this one, Naz Reid had gone back to Iowa and Jordan McLaughlin was called up. Keelan Martin hasn't been with the team for a few games. So the Wolves are continuing to kind of churn through which G League guys and which two-way players are on the roster and available for certain games. And it'd be interesting to kind of see just keep an eye on that. It's just an interesting thing that the Wolves didn't really do a great job of in past seasons, you know, notably under Tom Thibodeau, since the two-way player was introduced. But clearly that's a focus of Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders and their staff to keep things moving on that front, which is I think smart. It'll be fun to watch for sure. Next up for the Wolves, they travel to Oklahoma City. We'll preview that game on Friday morning. I will actually be at the game in Oklahoma City on Friday night. So a little bit of a firsthand view of that one. And we'll recap that for Monday morning's show. We'll also have the Timberwolves will play on Sunday. I think that's the game against the Lakers. So we'll have a couple games to talk about once we get to Monday. But on Friday's show, we'll preview the Thunder matchup. We'll spend a few minutes talking about the Lakers matchup on Sunday as well, and then look ahead to next week. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves Podcast, and we'll catch you tomorrow morning.